Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
God just told me to get rebaptized tonight. I don't know why, but I said, I'm going to do it. He didn't have a change of clothes or towel or anything, so he just jumps in the water, and we baptized him right there. So there's nothing wrong about that. I'm not saying get done every week or something like that every time it does. But, you know, sometimes, you know, God prompts us to be rebaptized. But I think baptism is very, very, very important to a believer. But, you know, his life changed when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit following his baptism. You know, baptism, it's symbolic. Jesus was baptized for repentance, even though he wasn't a sinner. He was baptized for repentance. But you and I, that's why we're baptized for repentance. And we're buried with our old nature to be raised and walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is, just symbolic. There's nothing about getting in the water that's not going to change your life. But it's about that commitment of yielding to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. And so, you know, when Jesus came out of the water, you remember the scripture in John? It said that, the heavens opened up and God said, this is my beloved son whom I'm well proud, exceedingly proud of. And then it says that a dove, John said, I saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. See, the Holy Spirit can take many manifestations. And because you can't see things, we talked about this last time, you can't see things always in the spirit, but you can see the results. Like the wind, you can't see the wind, but you can see the results of the wind. But he saw the Holy Spirit descend from heaven. What's in heaven? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit descend in the form of a dove, and said it rested upon Jesus, and it said it remained. And from that time on, you know, reading the scriptures there, his whole ministry changed. He's no longer the son of Joseph and Mary, but he was not only the carpenter's son or the carpenter himself, but he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. And he began to operate in miracles. And I believe the miracles begin to come after his obedience to be baptized. But not only that, but also when the Holy Spirit went upon Jesus and rested upon Jesus. Amen? Okay, so now, you know, Jesus promised the very same thing to believers. He says, after the Holy Spirit has come, you'll operate in new power. You'll be witnesses. Because of the promise. You know, therefore, if we're to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit, how many want to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit? See, that'll be part of your DNA. I want to operate in the power. I want to see people healed. I want to see people delivered. I want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to lead people to Jesus. I want to walk in this authority. And so if we're to operate in this authority, there's got to be baptism of the Holy Spirit he's talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, this is out of the Good News Version. Anybody have the Good News Version? It says, whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. So in order to receive the gifts from God's Spirit, you must have the Spirit of God. Amen? Inside you. Because he's a giver. It says, such people really do not understand them. They are nonsense to them because the gifts' value can be judged on a spiritual basis. You know, isn't that so true that a lot of times people say, well, you know, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's just nonsense. You know, it's just a bunch of malarkey. You know, we don't need gifts of healing. We got doctors. We don't need faith. You know, we don't need all this kind of stuff. We don't need tongues. We don't need interpretation. We don't need prophecy. We don't need all those kind of things. Just nonsense. And so many Christians discount the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They see no value. Just like I said, they see no value in them. They're nonsense. They're stupid. That's what it's saying. So remember from last time, the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit to flow in the gifts. And I don't know how many we had. If you were here, you know, I had everybody. I said, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, stand up and come get on stage. And so I think about it, we had a lot bigger crowd than we did tonight. And I think probably, 60-70% came forth. And so then I said, y'all begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. They all begin to pray loud in the Holy Spirit. And so I said, now, if you hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be, see, I think you got to want to be. See, I don't think there's anybody in Texas, maybe in America, that's led more people in the baptism of the Holy Spirit than Sandy Trice. And she's a little old Baptist lady for years and years and years. And, you know, I always loved it. She always, when she missed somebody, said, Miss Cindy, do you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? She said, yes. I said, do you really want it? And she said, yes. No, do you really, really, really want it? Isn't that what Miss Cindy always said? Do you really, really, really want it? If you don't want it, you ain't going to get it. That's right. You can go to heaven, but you're going to miss a lot of heaven here on earth. I mean, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Bible became alive. Before that, I read the Bible. It's like reading Rodeo Sports News. When I just read it. Just a story. But when I begin to read it, man, it's like God is speaking to me. I can hear his voice. And after I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I could hear his voice so clearly, like I never heard before. I thought, my goodness, that's God. You know, I began to have faith. I mean, I was always an optimist all my life. You don't ride bulls and be a pessimist, I can tell you that. I was all a very, very optimistic person. But I mean, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had faith. I could believe God for things. And I mean, so many ways I can tell you how it helped me. Gave me boldness to do things I couldn't do. But you gotta want it. You gotta want it. So it's very important to do this. Now, Paul says in verse 1, he says, he doesn't want you ignorant of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what this series is about. We don't want you being ignorant. So tonight we're going to talk about a gift. So what is a gift? You know, you see the gifts several times through the Bible. You know, even in the Old Testament, you talk about a gift. Salvation is a gift. We all know that. So a gift is an undeserved or unearned gift. You can't work your way to heaven. And frankly, to be honest with you, no matter how sweet you are, you don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve salvation. Nobody deserves it because the Bible says we're all sinners. But so salvation is a gift. It's a free gift from God. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, because it is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Don't you thank God for that gift there? And another thing is, you know, another gift is the Holy Spirit is a gift. In Acts 2, verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The callings of God are gifts. The callings of God are gifts. Ephesians 2, 8 through 15 says, it's paraphrasing, says, Christ gave gifts to the church. He gave gifts to the church. See, church is not a building. He didn't give light fixtures and sound equipment and chairs. He gave gifts to the church. See, a church is a corporate body. You and I are the church. We may be AOL church, but you are the church. The Bible says more clearly, you are the temple of the living God. So Christ gave gifts, say gifts, to the church. Some to be apostles, some to be prophets. And, you know, I operate under the office of apostle. Back when we first started our church here years and years ago, I received a prophetic word that God called me to be an apostle. I didn't know what an apostle was. Me and Luann talked about it many times. And it just seemed like over the years, you know, probably heard it 20 times from 20 different people ministering. You operate an apostle. Well, I can see that now. So what is an apostle? It's a sent one. And so what have we done? In fact, when we stepped down from full-time ministry here as a senior pastor, Sandy Trice called me and she said, I'm finally glad to see you doing what you're supposed to be doing a long time ago. I said, what's that? She said, you're an apostle. We're just going to Africa right after that. She said, that's your calling. It's not just one place. You go different places. And you establish churches. And you help churches. That's what we do now. We have several churches that's part of our group here, that AOL is a part of it. But there's also other churches. And so we work with these other churches. The pastors. We kind of become pastors. And it says, another gift he gives the church is prophets. Now, he's not talking about, we get confused on the word prophet sometimes and think, well, he's talking about somebody that operates in prophecy. See, another word for prophecy is to speak the word. See, when I'm preaching, I'm being a prophet right now. When Pastor Travis gets up Sunday morning and begins to preach, he's operating his office of prophet. He's declaring the word of God to you. And then it says he gave gift of an evangelist. You know, evangelist is one like Todd Bailey. He's coming here soon. When a week after, wow. We going to be here? I don't think we are. Oh, man. Don't miss Todd Bailey. he's one of my favorite guys. I just love that guy. He doesn't have a home church. He has a home church that he bases out of, but he's never there. Why? Because every Sunday somewhere, he's on an airplane flying somewhere to minister all around the United States. So maybe in Greece, maybe in Florida, maybe in Seattle. He's all over. So he's an evangelist. And then some to be pastors. Y'all got some great pastors here. Pastor Travis, Pastor Robert, Pastor Michelle, Pastor Beth. Got great pastors here. They shepherd the church. And they're the one, you know, the senior pastor, I don't want to get into all this, but he's a gift. Always treat your pastor as a gift because Christ gave a pastor to this church right here. And God gives this pastor the vision of this house. You may not like the vision of this house, but God's going to give it to you. You think, well, I got other ideas. He's got the God idea. Amen? Amen. All right. And then he gives teachers. Well, Pastor Robert, he's a pastor and a teacher. He can really teach the word. Just get in there and break everything down. And I'm seeing this, you doing the very same thing. You become more of a teacher also, teacher, pastor. Lou Ann's a teacher. I'm not a very good teacher. I don't know why I'm doing this tonight. But it says, Christ gave gifts to the church, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. Watch this. For the equipping of the saints. For the equipping of the saints. See, that's why they call it a fivefold ministry. See, a church cannot just have a pastor involved in it. It's got to have an apostle. It's got to have a teacher. It's got to have an evangelist. Because that's a fivefold ministry. Why? To equip the saints. To give you the ammunition, the armor, whatever you need to live a Christian life. So he gave these to equip the saints until we come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming a perfect man or woman. It says man, but it means women too. See, these fivefold ministries given to the church to equip you that you might become the perfect man of God, so you might become the perfect woman of God. That's why you need to be in the house. Amen? Okay, getting through early tonight. There's four Greek words that refer to spiritual gifts. Paul used them all in chapter 12 here. The first is word charisma. And that word, the definition of it, means gift of grace. Paul says, now there are different gifts or charismata, but the same spirit. See, so he's talking about a gift being a gift of grace. It refers to the gifts, charisma refers to the gifts of special abilities, but that God gives through believers through the Holy Spirit. See, as a church culture, we are a charismatic church. You know, a lot of times people ask me, you know, what kind of church do you go to? When I was a pastor, what kind of church do you pastor? You know, they think about, is it Methodist, Baptist, Church of Christ, Lutheran, you know, this. Well, you know, we're a non-denominational, meaning that we don't have a certain denomination. But really, our culture is charismatic. We're a charismatic church. So why are we a charismatic church? Because we jump up and down on Sunday mornings, we roll on the floor? No. We're charismatic because of the gift. See, that's the word charismatic. charismatic comes from. We believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you're in this church, you ought to believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because that's part of the DNA of this church. There are certain churches that I think carry certain DNA. And, you know, there's a lot of charismatic churches here in Amarillo because they believe and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of churches that say, well, we're a charismatic church. And I can name you some that call themselves a charismatic church, but they never operate in the gifts. They jump and shout and sing the kind of music we sing, say that makes us charismatic. No, that don't make charismatic. Charismatic churches believe and operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it's important that you do that. All right. The second word is pneumaticus, which is things of the Spirit, is translated also as gift. Now, Paul says this. Now, the spiritual gifts are the pneumaticus, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant about. See, this word is translated gift, but it actually means spirituals. In fact, I think when you read this other Greek text, it doesn't talk about spiritual gifts. It talks about spirituals, pneumaticus, which is still in charismas. The third word is diakonia, and it means service. Paul uses this Greek word diakonia, which means service, to describe spiritual gifts. Verse 5 says, there are various ministries or diakonias in the same Lord. This gives the idea that the gifts are for the service of ministry. The fourth and last word is energemata, means effect or operation. And Paul used this in verse 6. Now, there are diversities of activities. Remember that? All four of these are translated gifts also in the Greek, but they have specific translations for each word. And this one here is energemata, and it says there are diversities of activities. There's diversity of gifts. It says, use the word energemata, but it's the same word that works in all people. So anytime you see the word energemata, it's always a supernatural work or operation by God. So the gifts, anytime the gifts are in force, operating in a church or through a believer, it's always a supernatural work of God. We'll see that in just a little bit later. Back to the second word, pneumatica. It comes from the word pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. It's where we get pneumatic, which I think about tires being pneumatic, they're full of air. But, you know, the counterpart to spirituals here, which is pneumatica, is seen in Genesis 1:2, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord is hovering over this earth. It was the breath of God. It wasn't Jesus in his white robe. It wasn't God, however God looks in the natural. It was the Spirit of God. He couldn't see it, but was hovering. The Ruah. The Ruah. I love that word. And then in verse 7 of chapter 2, remember, after God created everything, and this kind of blows your theology, we got all the animals. And they're living. Amen? They walk in grazing. But then he wanted fellowship, so God took some dirt and he formed man according to his image, according to his likeness. And then he breathed. It says he breathed into man. He ruah. And man became a living being. So that's what separates you and I from the animal kingdom. Now, don't get mad at me about your doggy crossing the Rainbow Bridge. I can't find anywhere that... I'm not going to go there. I got rocks thrown at me last time. Only horses. So what happened was that God took this form right here, and he imparted something into him. What did he impart? He imparted his spirit into man. And, you know, if we just get a revelation of who Adam really was. I mean, Adam, in Psalms chapter 8, the angels, they see men walking around the garden. And they say, who is this man that God put so much attention on? Who is he? They say he looks just like God. Well, we don't know what God looks like. I don't think he looks like Justin. I don't think he looks like Richard. I don't think he looks like Wayne. I don't know what God looks like. But they saw something about this man that was different from all the other animal kingdom because he looked like God. Why? Because he had the authority of God. He had the power of God. God gave him all dominion, but it was the Spirit of God inside, listen to me, it was the Spirit of God inside of him that allowed him to operate in that authority. He just lost it. Amen? So man became a living being. Remember the Holy Spirit we talked about last time, it contains all the attributes of God. Every attribute that God has, power, authority, dominion, grace, mercy, love, all the attributes that God has. I mean, if we start, we say we won't preach a series about the attributes of God, we'll be preaching until eternity comes. Because he's like a diamond. He's got so many facets to him. You can't just say, this is all God is. He's so multifaceted. You can't put God in a box. He may operate this way this time, but completely different next time and do the same result. And so here this man is, and God imparted something to him. And when he did, Adam had all the attributes of God. Can I take you one more step further? Did you know Jesus was called the second Adam? Second Adam. Why? Because he had all the attributes of God. Because he had the Holy Spirit living inside of him. Guess what? If you're a child of God, you got the same attributes as the first Adam. You got the same attributes as the second Adam. It's the Holy Spirit inside you. We got to get revelation of God in us. God inside of us. So when God created man, he imparted his breath or ruah, his spirit into man. And man became a living being. In Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, there was another impartation of God into man that came in the form of a sound. Remember, like a mighty wind came in that room, that upper room. This time, God did not breathe into man because man already had the Spirit of God living inside him. But watch this. It said, and tongues of fire came and set upon believers. The Holy Spirit in form of flames of fire, tongues of fire, came and set upon believers. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. Now, they already had the impartation, but now they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So that's why you need the Holy Spirit to be activated through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And I just said this a minute ago, but the word gifts do not appear but only spiritual. So it says, concerning spirituals, brothers and sisters, I wouldn't want you being ignorant. Verse 4 says, now there are distinctive varieties of gifts, charisma again. There are different kinds of gifts because their purpose is to serve others. So there's all we want to talk about nine different gifts, but every one of them are to serve who? You, to build you up, to make you look good in front of the church, to make you look spiritual? No. It's to serve others. There are different kinds of workings because every time we use the gift, the Holy Spirit himself is working through us. See, when Luann has a word of knowledge for somebody, it's the Holy Spirit working through her, not for her benefit, but for the benefit of somebody else. And there are manifestations. What's manifestation? Something that you can see that's visible. There are manifestations of the Spirit because they make the presence of the Holy Spirit evident to others. Now, there's some of you, we may talk about tongues a little bit later on. You know, there's tongues and there's prayer language. Two different things. You know, have I ever got up and gave a word, gave a message in tongues in front of a church? No, I haven't. I've had some prophetic words, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but I just hadn't gave a message in tongues. But I pray in tongues more than I pray in the natural. It's a prayer language. And so those are manifestations because they make the presence of the Holy Spirit evident to others. Did you know one reason that God gave tongues in Acts is for the unbeliever? 3,000 people said, hey, that's supernatural. That's supernatural. See, there's a type of tongue that you may speak in another language. I've heard testimonies of people. I've had friends speak out some word of tongues in a church, and someone from a different nation said, hey, you just prayed in my native language. How'd you learn that? I didn't know that. Happens all the time, people. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not abilities or talents. They are not things that can be learned. See, we can teach you and inspire you, but it takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit inside your mind here to get what I'm saying. And so, you know, we can teach you more how to flow and how to release your gift. In fact, don't get too comfortable because we're going to start doing it. Amen? So you can't hide on the back row because I got a traveling mic. Amen? We're going to have some assignments. Hope I didn't lose half of y'all next week. All right. So you can't learn, you know, but we can teach you this, how to allow the Holy Spirit and to recognize the Holy Spirit inside you to flow through you. See, God could do it through angels, but he wants to use you because you're his representative here on this earth. You're like walking around Jesus on this earth. So he wants to release the gifts through you. Paul's emphasis on the close relationship between the gifts and the Holy Spirit shows these gifts are not natural human abilities that you can develop or use at your will, such as athletic or musical ability. So you can develop some skills playing a music instrument. I can teach you how to play golf. I can teach you how to do other things. But that may not be your natural deal. You can't be taught these things. See, a charisma or gift is dependent on the operation of the Holy Spirit in you, but you have to release it. You have to release it. See, back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's so many people that I prayed for years for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They really want it. And I've seen people out come to the altar time after time after time and said, I just don't get it. And see, it's the way we think. See, we're conditioned to think in the old kingdom we was raised in. And when we say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, you're going to begin to pray in tongues. Begin to pray in your heavenly prayer language. And a lot of people say, I just can't do it. Because they think, you know, I'm going to be like a zombie, and all of a sudden, everything's going to shut off, and all of a sudden, my mouth, without my control, is going to start talking, and these words are going to come. It ain't going to happen that way. It's inside you. You got to release it. And one of the easiest ways I ever found, I was praying for a guy at camp meeting one time, and he really wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I asked Ronnie, I said, come here, Ronnie. And Ronnie came up there, I said, we're going to lay hands on you. I said, when I lay hands, that's a point of contact. Because in Acts chapter 19, when Paul was talking to the believers, he said, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet? They said, we didn't even heard of the Holy Spirit. He said, he laid hands on them. He said, that's a point of contact. That's why we lay hands on people to get healed. There's nothing magical about your hands. It's just that impartation, symbolic, releasing. And I said, we're going to lay hands on you. And you're going to, that prayer language is going to come out of you. And so I did that, and God didn't do anything. And I said, just let it out. And he says, it's not working. I said, it's working. There's something on the inside of you. It don't sound, to you, your mind, it doesn't sound like a word. But you got to release it. God's not going to make you talk. I said, here's the easy way to think. I said, I speak English, I speak Spanish. And I said, you know, when I'm in Mexico, I don't automatically just go speak in Spanish. I have to think the words. I have to think Kelly Ventilaganata, do you want to sell your cattle? And, or I can say in English, do you want to sell your cattle? The words are inside. I have to project them. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. You got to project it. It may not sound like a word. It may sound like a moaning. It may sound like a groaning. It may be something you never heard of. But you have to release it. You hear it. You can hear it inside you. And you know what it is? Just speak it out. It may just be one word. I remember when Lou Ann got years ago, you know, she had about two words and just over and over and over. But now she's very fluent in it because she puts it into practice. She recognizes it. Amen? So a gift is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, operation of the Holy Spirit in you that you allow to release. Who release? You got to allow it. See, it's inside you, all these nine gifts we're going to talk about. But you have to release it. Any clearer than that? See, it allows what is humanly impossible, such as prophecy, a word of knowledge, healings, and miracles, and all in all, to be released for the benefit of others. See, the gifts are for others. And it's something that you know, if you could do it in the natural, and sometimes, you know, when you get into word of knowledge, sometimes it's easy. Let me just tell you about personal experience. When I'm in a church, I don't know anybody yet. Sometimes I can flow more easily in the prophetic and word of knowledge because I don't know anything. But sometimes, you know, I have a word, say, for John here. And I know a lot about John, what's going on in John's life. I know the words. I feel this word on the inside. I'm hearing the word. I think, well, is that my natural knowing of things, or is this God trying to show John things? See, there's a difference. You got to learn how to distinguish between the two. So that's why it's sometimes so easy in another church or in a foreign country to flow really easy because you don't know anything about anybody. And when God says, there's someone here and your husband has been very abusive to you and he's left you and you got three children that are starving and you just got diagnosed with cancer, but God wants to heal you, wants to restore your marriage, he wants to bring your kids back to him. See, something I couldn't know. But, you know, it stirs up so much faith in people. So much faith. I've seen people in this church that just get healed. I have a word of knowledge. They get healed before they ever come down. Most of the time I only pray for somebody if I have a word of knowledge because they get healed coming down. I've seen it happen over and over and over the years. I just say, you know, God's healing somebody with a lower bad back. They stand up and get healed. Why? Because that word is not just my word. It's a word from the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's like me giving you this gift. You say, wow. You start repping, wow, man, that's what I'm wanting. That's what I need. That's that word of encouragement I need. So even though you cannot develop these gifts, such as ability to play an instrument, you can become more confident in using them by trusting the voice of the Holy Spirit and putting them into practice. So how can you develop these gifts? By becoming more confident. I want to tell you, sometimes it's kind of frightening. I mean, to be honest with you, we all got so much pride in us that we hate to miss it. And we don't want to make God look bad. I remember one time, years and years ago, I had a word. I said, there's someone here, you have an incurable kidney disease. And God wants to heal you right now, otherwise you're going to die. If that's you, come forth. Nobody came forth. I mean, I waited and I waited and I waited. And I said it two or three times. I said, God wants to heal you. I said, God wouldn't show me that unless he wants to heal you. And so I thought I missed it. And so we dismissed church, walk out there in the foyer. And this lady comes running up to me and grabs me by the arm. She said, that word was for me. She said, I'm from Oklahoma. It's the first time I've been in this church right here. And said, I got diagnosed. I got less than 6 months to live. Would you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. never heard from her again. So I believe she got healed. But it takes response on both parts. Come on. I can give you a present, but you have to take it. I can hold it all day long for you and extend it to you, but you got to take it. You got to unwrap it. Come on. We've all received gifts that we've never used or never worn. I'm saying this because every one of you can operate in all nine gifts. You've got gifts inside you. Come on now. Tell yourself that. I got the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside me. You may have never used them. You may have never wanted to use them. But they're inside you. It's just like, oh, one time I got this very unusual Christmas gift. Very unusual. We both looked at it, Louie and I. What is this? I don't know what it is. And you don't want to call the giver and say, well, thank you for the la, 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 la. But what is it? What do you do with it? Still don't know what it is. We've talked about it for years. It's kind of a joke. But still don't know what it is. You know, it's the same with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, if you truly have the Holy Spirit living inside you and you baptize the Holy Spirit, those spiritual gifts are inside you, and they like this item. We don't know where it is right now. We put it on a shelf somewhere. Maybe threw it away. We wasted its purpose. It might have had a very significant purpose. We never found out what it is. Same thing, you got these gifts inside you, and they got a very significant purpose for somebody wherever you are. It may be in a group. Lou Ann's many, many times. Well, we were in Dallas last year and playing golf. She went into Target somewhere, and God showed this woman over, and she said she didn't look pregnant. And God said, oh, she's pregnant. What, remember that? And I want you to pray for her. She goes over and says, God just told me you're pregnant. Can I pray for you? She literally broke. I think she'd had some miscarriages. She literally broke. She said, how'd you know? She said, I didn't know. God just told me to pray for you. See, God wants to use that gift inside you for others. For others. Wouldn't it be wasteful to have such a precious gift and you never, never, ever use it? Okay, I'm shutting down. Romans 11:29. So the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. See, God's not going to say, well, I'm going to take that back. You'll go to heaven with your gift, never use it. It's always going to be with you. So quit wasting that gift. So next week we're going to start a deal of about the gifts. I don't know how we're going to do it yet. We'll break them up in threes or probably not. Probably do it. Probably take four more sessions. Some we won't spend more time on. But we want you flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This church needs, this city needs you flowing in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Louie, you got anything? You do, come on.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.